when you look at the contenders in the data center right now, from my vantage point, it's kind of down to Spark and Power. We don't see PA risk out there. I frankly don't run into Itanium much. In the kind of scale-up environments, and I think with Niagara, the redefinition of scale-out environments, I'm very comfortable that we're on a good trajectory.
This is PodTech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. The Wednesday morning keynote at the 2006 Gartner Symposium IT Expo featured Sun CEO Jonathan Schwartz, interviewed by Gartner analysts Paul McGuckin and Daryl Plummer. We've broken the podcast up into three parts, and in this first segment, Schwartz talks about his first weeks on the job as CEO since taking the reins from Chairman Scott McNeely, and he also defends Sun for making too much technology.
Hi, Jonathan. Welcome.
Good morning. Hi. Thanks.
Well, what a 3 weeks it's been.
Has it been 3 weeks?
It's almost been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You put in place a number of changes, but we want to start by hearing from you what your vision is for Sun Microsystems, what your priorities are, what's the future going to bring for the new Sun?
Well, I think just looking at what I've been up to for the past couple, 3 weeks, and it's felt like about 30 seconds, but it's really going back and looking at the business we have today. Where do we see the opportunities? Where do we see some of the potential for change? And then how do we go drive forward? So looking at all of that, the number one thing that I've certainly been focused on, along with Greg Papadopoulos, is doing kind of a comprehensive interview of the businesses we're in. And for those of you that don't know this, we're fundamentally in four businesses. We're in the software, systems, services, and storage business. Now, those are all converging in interesting ways, and we can certainly talk to that, but just kind of reviewing each of those businesses, we've got to understand, for example, with the software business, what's not only the future of the developer marketplace, the future of developer technology. If you're across the hall or across the road at Java 1, there's 20,000 people there who are kind of focused on that. But also looking at our x64 server business. Most folks don't actually know we're the fastest growing x64 server vendor out there, and we run Windows just as well as we run Red Hat, just as well as we run Solaris. On the storage side of the world, we obviously made an acquisition recently of StorageTek that's just opened up a world of new opportunities, and not just into the traditional glasshouse, but in a bunch of emerging kind of Web 2.0 companies who are looking at gargantuan quantities of data and how they archive them safely and make sure that they've got a roadmap lined out. So, first and foremost, I want to make sure that we're driving that innovation to be as open and as neutral with respect to having any one or another technology agenda, because the market's huge. I want to go participate in as much of it as we possibly can. Secondly, we're going to focus on operational efficiency. How do we go run Sun profitably? How do we go make sure that we're creating value not only for customers, but for shareholders and employees? And that means we're going to look at all of the basic processes of the company, making sure we know how to work with our business partners as much as our manufacturing partners. And then finally, kind of a little known secret, the first act of Congress in the new administration, my first act, was to lob phone calls in to folks I really view as business partners. And that was Sam Palmisano day one, Steve Ballmer, Kevin Rollins, Mark Hurd, to say, look, we're in a different position than we were, a few years ago. We're certainly seeing, with one example, we were talking earlier, we've distributed nearly 5 million licenses of Solaris in the past 12 months. 5 million, that's more than we've shipped in the history of the company combined. And the interesting statistic buried in that is that about 70%, almost 70%, have been onto non-Sun hardware.
These are primarily Intel boxes?
These are primarily AMD Opteron and Intel boxes, but dominantly HP, Dell, and IBM, which means what were historically competitors may now instead be channel partners. And so we're engaging in the discussions with them, as well as focusing on interoperability, to make sure that we're not just about everything from Sun, everything on Sun, but instead, how do we reflect the priorities of our customers, both developers as well as CIOs and IT executives, and make sure we can give them a path forward that's more valuable to them and ultimately, of course, more valuable to us.
One of the big changes that just got announced earlier this week was the departure of Mark Canepa, who had been in charge of the storage organization. Mm-hmm. John Fowler, who had done a great job with building the Opteron business, is now in charge of all servers. And David Yen, who was in charge of Spark servers, moving over to storage. Give us some thoughts behind that, because this seemed like an abrupt announcement. Mark Canepa had been, I gotta believe, one of the major drivers behind the StorageTek acquisition. What's going on there?
So first of all, as I wrote on my blog, as I'm sure you noticed, because you have that book in your hands there, the market's changing. And it's not just the survival of the strongest, it's survival and the thriving of the most adaptable. And so we're going to adapt to the changes we see in the marketplace. And just a note on Mark specifically, and then a note on John and David more generally. Mark's a great guy. I'm very fond of Mark. He was a great general manager at Sun. He really gave us 10 years of devotion and focus and commitment. But the way we make decisions at Sun is there's not one individual who stands up and says, I've decided to do this, and come hell or high water, I'm going to go make it happen. We make decisions as a team. We're an integrated business. So certainly Mark was heavily involved in the acquisition of Storage Tech. He's certainly been the lead executive to help go promote the successful integration. But it's been a team effort, and it's going to continue to be a team effort. Now, more insight on me. I've had, I think, 9 jobs in my 10-year history at Sun. Now, you could claim that I can't keep
a job. Can't hold down a job.
Exactly. Or you can say we really believe in cycling talent across the company. So you develop skills and perspectives you would not otherwise have had if you'd just been in one job. And that's been the case with David Yen and John Fowler and most of the folks on my staff. Anil Godrey, our chief marketing officer, used to run the Solaris organization. So we've all got perspective that really runs across the globe. So the changes that I made on my staff were reflective of opportunities and changes in the marketplace. And so let me first talk about David, and then I'll come back and talk about John. So David is at his core a scientist. And if you look at the position in which we found ourselves 2 or 3 years ago with Spark, there were certainly a lot of questions about, well, okay, what happens next with Spark? Because it doesn't seem clever or unique or fast in any particular respect. And no one's saying that now. With the introduction of our Niagara systems, we have, you know, 8-core, 4-thread, 32-way chips that consume 70 watts, which radically take down power bills, radically improve Java and internet performance, and they're just blowing, you know, benchmarks just out of the water. I mean, the numbers we're seeing are absolutely phenomenal. That comes from fundamental innovation. That doesn't come from saying, I'm gonna go resell somebody else's stuff and hope that people like my brand. That's not Sun's business model. I can't make that work. Our business model is going to be built on fundamental innovation. So in the process of, frankly, recovering the Spark business, and we saw pretty aggressive growth last quarter in the US, which is, you know, you all are about the toughest IT audience in the world. And if we can grow here, now, in my view, we've recovered that business. Now it's a process of how do we really scale it up? So David, moving from having recovered the Spark business to go...
Hold, but before we grant him having succeeded in recovering, mm-hmm. most of the growth in servers is in the Opteron line. I mean...
No, that's not true at all. Most of the percentage growth, but again, that's off a relatively small base. The revenue growth in the business, look, 12% on a multi-billion dollar business is a lot of growth.
But Spark servers were up 6% only, so it grew
6%
less fast than
on a
the company
no,
overall.
No, percentage, I'm not going to disagree. I think on a gross dollars basis, you know, 6% on a multi-billion dollar business dwarfs the size of our Opteron business in totality. So we're definitely coming up from, you know, being the number 99th X64 vendor. I think we're now
right.
The number 6, then that's a good trend line, but we've got some growth
ahead of us. I
think
it's just early to declare a victory in reinvigorating the Spark business
and
when you look at market share versus the competition.
And I appreciate that, but I think when you look at the contenders in the data center right now, from my vantage point, it's kind of down to Spark and Power. We don't see PA risk out there. I frankly don't run into Itanium much. So I think in that side of the world, in the kind of scale-up environments, and I think with Niagara, the redefinition of scale-out environments, I'm very comfortable that we're on a good trajectory.
Well, so let me jump in just a second, because you guys are extremely familiar, as we are, with what the specifics are you're doing inside your businesses. But for the audience here, put this in context of how your business model is changing. I mean, you talk about Opteron, you talk about the Niagara servers, and you're talking about changing models and a different kind of audience over at Java 1. How can you make the business model for success easily understood here?
So if I could just finish out on the leadership changes.
We will come back to
that. We can certainly come back to that. So first and foremost, what we wanted to do with David and what I wanted to do with David in the storage business, what we saw when we acquired Storage Tech was a company that certainly had a loyal following, but it was a customer base that was saying, so what's next? And I'll give you a very simple example of that. One of the first things we did with Storage Tech when they came into Sun was, you know, and partially because we had a board member who was also the board member on a company whose tapes had been stolen. And I remember the conversation I had with that one board member, and so I asked, well, what's on the tape? Why is that such a big deal? And he said, because there's data on the tape. And I said, well, surely it's encrypted. And
no.
The response was no. And I said, you mean there's not even encryption in the basic infrastructure? And he said, no, tape data isn't encrypted. Okay, there's a simple opportunity. So we just introduced encrypted tape with a key management system that will integrate in with a network identity management system. That just seems like
that's a good kind synergy.
That's a great synergy.
Tech and,
and look, that's what innovation delivers. That's not putting another brand on the box. That's saying, look, how do we recognize the requirements our customers have? So what David's going to do in the storage business is two things. Number one, continue that path of innovation forward. But number two, and I think of critical importance, is he's going to look back into the systems team that he helped build, along with John Fowler, and say, what are the components that we need to assemble to build the next generation of storage? Because what I see happening in storage right now is two things. Number one, the requirement for data management and information security to not be an island unto itself. You don't want to have a separate data management or identity management story for storage than you do for the rest of your infrastructure. But number two, you don't want another set of operating systems, another set of management skills, another set of provisioning infrastructure. What we can do with storage today is say, look, I can take a Niagara box or an Opteron box. I can run Solaris on it, running the next generation file system called ZFS. We can add identity management and encryption, and now I've got a tremendous storage offering with little to no incremental R&D. So what we just announced a month ago is probably the best leading indicator of the future of Sun. Just a few weeks ago, we announced a project internally known as Thumper. And what's Thumper? Thumper is a 4-core Opteron box with 24 terabytes of storage in it that runs Solaris and ZFS, which will deliver economics and pricing that no one in the industry can match.
And isn't Thumper a great example of what's best about Sun and also most troubling about Sun? Because Thumper was designed in the Opteron group. Sun Labs came out with a product codenamed Honeycomb, mm-hmm. another storage platform. Storage Tech brought with it a whole bunch of storage platforms. Sun itself had developed internally a number of storage platforms, as well as reselling from Hitachi. Isn't that too much technology? Isn't that just a cup running over too far?
So, like I said, 3 weeks ago was the beginning of a set of new opportunities. Mm-hmm. One of them is to certainly, and you've probably seen that Greg and I have been walking through the entirety of our R&D investments to say, how do we really align these all together? So Thumper is probably the best leading indicator for a reason. It is aligned systems innovation from Sun. It runs the systems platform we've built, the operating systems platform, the file system, the management, the provisioning, and it delivers economic value to an enterprise that says, how do I have fewer moving parts? You know, Southwest Airlines is one of the most successful airlines in the world for one reason. They only fly one airplane. And so 737 delivers a degree of uniformity for them, which I certainly hear from CIOs around the world, I want to have a 737 data center, I want to have a Southwest data center, and we're going to certainly go try to go make that happen.
Is that the right analogy for Sun to be using, though, with Opteron servers and Spark servers and storage sourced from two or three different places? I mean, that's not like running an airline with 737.
So I think if all of you had the luxury of only having greenfield investments to make, yes, I think you'd all want to have a perfectly aligned and uniform data center. But the reality for Sun, just as much as it's the reality for you, we've got to meet customers where they are today. I can't expect every customer. Look, there's only one customer in the world that runs only Sun storage, servers, software, and services. That customer is called the CIO of Sun Microsystems. And I would love to invite all of you to run only infrastructure that we build, but I think the reality that I face is you run Windows, you run Red Hat, we want to serve you well. You run EMC, you run IBM mainframes, we would like to serve you well. So we're going to be neutral with respect to our support of our partners and our channel partners, even though some of them may also be erstwhile competitors. Mm-hmm. But my objective is to try to define a future that delivers unified and aligned innovation that lowers the cost of running infrastructure.